Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Minor Junkie. And Dave, a little recap from this week. We usually chat on Tuesday. We pushed our call back to now when the market is closed on Thursday because we wanted to see what the inflation data was going to come in on Wednesday and Thursday. CPI came in 8.3%, slightly down from 8.5% last month. But still, that was a little above estimates and, quite frankly, still very high inflation number. PPI, Purchasers Price Index, it came in at over 11%, which is actually up from last month. We are broadly not seeing really a slowdown in inflation. Maybe at best you could say a flattening of inflation at these higher levels, but I think that has all investors, again, pushing everything over to the Fed, saying, man, I bet they're going to keep on tightening. And that's not good for markets. What's your takeaway from that inflation data and the natural carryover when people assume what the Fed's going to do to fight inflation?
Yeah, Corey. I mean, basically, you just said it in a nutshell. I mean, the markets are you know, the markets are seeing that the CPI came in at 8.3, although it was a couple ticks lower than the last month. It was a couple ticks higher than the expected 8.1%. And then when that PPI came in at 11% today, more selling came in, you know, that investors are feeling that it's trouble for, it's going to continue to keep pressure on bonds and stocks that are negatively affected by a more hawkish Fed. You know, when you got Uber dubs like Neil Kashkari coming out this week and being hawkish and bringing up the fact that that Americans' household balance sheets are estimated to be more than $2 trillion in excess savings, and bringing up those points and saying that, hey, we got to get on top of this inflation, so we got to raise rates at a 50 basis point clip the next two meetings. Some are even worried that a 75 point basis point raise might be on the table for the next meeting because the inflation continues to go higher. So everything's being sold, you know, the margin calls are being met here, and nothing is safe. I mean, if you take a look at the Dow, the NASDAQ, and the S&P, they've all got very ugly head and shoulders tops where the neckline is broken. And then the poster child for risk, Bitcoin, lost its neckline on its head and shoulder top this week. And here on Thursday morning, it even touched 25,000. So cash is king right now. And if you take a look at the U.S. dollar, it has now breached long-term 20-year resistance at 104. So the U.S. dollar continuing to go parabolic spells trouble for just about everything. And like I said, and like we've been seeing for the past few weeks now, cash is king, as a lot of people are selling what they can sell and getting into cash and preserving their capital.
Yeah, Dave, it's one of those situations where people are going to cash knowing that it's going to be eroded by 8.3%.
Right.
Because it's the lesser of two evils. It's either that or stay in the markets and lose 20, 30, 40%. So it's buoying the dollar. The dollar's at 104.83 at the time of this recording, which is the strongest level it's been in a long time. But it does seem weird to have these covailing forces of high inflation and a high dollar at the same time. And I realize it's only in relation to other fiat currencies, but think about what the high dollar does to emerging markets that hold U.S. debt. Think about what the high U.S. dollar does to other currency trades and other currency pairs. It's really creating kind of a global mess. Do you think this is all building towards some kind of a relief, though, where we do see a bounce in bonds, the markets, and the precious metals, and maybe a rollover of the U.S. dollar anytime in the near term?
Yes. I mean, everything's oversold on a short-term basis. So I do see a bounce happening here. We did see a bounce in gold stocks at the end of the day today as the GDXJ on a daily basis got to an RSI of 23. I mean, it hadn't gotten that low since the March 2020 panic. So, but there is still room on the weekly for it to go lower. So If we're going to shift to gold stocks here, which you probably want to do, if you take a look at the GDXJ in a good historical, recent historical comparison would be what happened in 2016, because we had a move in early 2016, in January 2016 to mid 2016, from an accumulative bottom in the GDXJ. You saw a roughly 300% move higher in 6 months. And that took 2 years to consolidate. And then by the time the consolidation was over in July of 2018, the sector had corrected 48%. And today we had the GDXJ touch very long-term support at 35 and bounce from there today. But if you want to do a comparison as to the 2016 move up, because we had a similar move up in 2020, that the GDXJ went up roughly the same amount, around 300% from a spike low, and in less time, 4.8 months. So a 48% move from the peak in August of 2020 would be around 33. So we should see a bounce here into the weekend because of just how oversold it became on a short-term basis. But it all depends on the stock market, guys. If we see a quick bounce in the stock market and then selling coming right back in, you're going to see the same thing happen in gold stocks because they are tracking stocks right now. No matter what the gold price does, the gold stocks are tracking stocks.
Well, the thing is, it seems like we're in the early stages here of a bear market. And there are some bear markets where nothing survives, right? And that's maybe the biggest fear that I have, is that even if we get a bounce, and look, it's not just gold stocks that are due for a bounce. There are a lot of stocks that are due for some sort of oversold bounce. It is still an oversold bounce in the bigger picture of a bear market here for the broad averages. And unless something changes, because again, going back to the Fed, they seem pretty determined to keep hiking rates, at least for the next couple meetings. To me, this seems like we could be in and talking about some negative down days time and time again for months. Who knows? Maybe even throughout this whole year.
Yeah, I mean, it could last a while here, absolutely, because like you said, the Fed is not backing off yet. The more time that they take to not back off, the higher that they raise interest rates, the cost of carrying that debt rises exponentially. I mean, the debt to GDP on our over $30 trillion debt now is over 130%. So if the Fed funds rate gets to 2%, and if we look at the dot plot, that would be at the end of July. And they have a meeting in June where they're telegraphed to raise 50 basis points, and then another FOMC meeting at the end of July where they're telegraphed to raise another 50 basis points. That would put it at 2%, and at 2%, the cost of carrying our debt would rise to about $1 trillion, and the stock market, Lord only knows how low the stock market's going to be by then. So if they don't come out and start trying to talk this, talk a little dovish and talk it down a bit, each rally is going to continue to be sold. If we take a look at Fibonacci retracement levels on the Dow, the 38.2 retracement level is about 29,900. The Dow bounced a little bit today, but it hasn't got toward that level yet. But the S&P has reached that level, and it bounced from its 38.2 retracement level today. And the NASDAQ has been sold down even more. It's down 30% now from its peak, and it's already at its 50% retracement level. So I do expect some bounces here, but how long they last is anybody's guess. And how high they go, is anybody's guess. But having a lot of cash right now feels pretty good.
Well, Dave, it's interesting because none of this was really that big of a surprise. So you could say the Ukraine war was, but really the Fed has telegraphed for almost a year that they were going to be doing this tightening cycle of tapering and then increasing the rates and then reducing their balance sheet. So they also said that they were fine with some market carnage because they wanted to kill the demand side of things, which should help with inflation. So it's not like any of this would be a surprise, but it still is sometimes shocking to wake up and see it in practice. But if we haven't depressed people enough on this interview yet, let's talk about silver. Silver broke 2141, and we wanted that level to hold. So what's your outlook now on the lesser precious metal?
Yeah, silver. That's another one to take a look at. You know, nothing hurts more from a rising dollar than silver. So, you know, that 2141 was breached today and closed below. And there's some support at 1975, but the major support is at 1875. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that go down there. I mean, if you take a look at the daily silver chart, I think silver's gone down like 18 of the last 19 sector sessions. I don't think I've ever seen that before. So short term, in the RSI now is at 20 in silver. So we're going to get a bounce here, but we could get a quick back test of 2141 and then right back down again. If you take a look at the weekly chart of silver, it hasn't even reached the 30 RSI yet. So it's not even extreme oversold yet. So, and if you take a look at the dollar, you know, moving above that 20-year resistance line and going up well above 104, that's the catalyst for the silver losing 2141. And silver and the miners have been pretty much leading this move down. I talked about this several weeks ago when we had silver and the miners were leading gold higher. Gold was looking really good. The sector was looking really good. And all of a sudden, they were showing strong relative weakness. And that happened about 4 weeks ago. And they've been leading the gold price down pretty obviously since then. And I remember we talked on the show several weeks ago. I said, the only thing that concerns me about the GDX and the GDXJ making higher highs and breaking out here in stair-step fashion is the fact that they've done it on decreasing volume. That's kind of a red flag. obviously, I should have paid more attention to it because that was the tell that we were going to get a sharp reversal and it was going to be a false breakout.
So, Dave, when you're diving into your stocks, and it's one thing that I really like that you send out to subscribers is a top 10 list, a takeover list, and you rank a lot of the stocks in terms of different colors, if you should be buying, holding, selling, or just watching. Right now, everything seems to be in a just watch. Don't go out and be buying right now. But how do you go about isolating the better companies from the bad companies right now when everything is going down? How are you isolating your top 10?
Oh, that's a great question, Corey. I isolate my top 10 by, there's a lot of factors. The biggest one is where they're at is if it's a developer, where they're at in the development project, how much cash they have, how big it is, what's the margin on it? I mean, is it a high margin project? Do they have a lot of ounces in the ground? Is it undervalued relative to peers? Is it in a top tier jurisdiction? The biggest one is, are they going to have to raise cash anytime soon? I mean, you don't want to be holding anything right now that's going to have to raise cash anytime soon. So, and as far as if it's a growth oriented producer, and I have a handful of those in the top 10, do they have debt? And my growth oriented producers do not have any debt. And that's a big one right there. And another one is all in cash costs. And where is their project? How many ounces do they have in the ground? Are they going to be growing their production over the years? You know, what kind of model do they have? Are they adhering to that model? Are they sticking to their timeline? Have they had to come out and say, you know, we're going to have to raise our CapEx estimates like a lot of these companies have had to do. You get them on the phone and you say, hey, you know, cost creep on these CapExes are starting to go exponential for a lot of these companies. Are you worried about that? and you find out if they're on, if they're out ahead of it. And that's a big one.
All right, Dave, thank you, man, for your time. I know that today full of not very exciting or uplifting interviews, but fact of the matter is we need to understand the environment that we are in. A lot of it, again, predicated on the Fed tightening, pulling away the punch bowl, and everything moving lower. Dave, thank you for your time, buddy. We'll chat again next week. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks a lot, Corey.